to the Satisfied God podcast. This is Raven Bird once again. You're listening to podcast episode 11. Now, on this podcast, we have a little departure from our normal format. Today, we're going to have a special guest join me for this podcast. It's a pre-recorded interview that I did with my good friend John Casera. John is a pastor in Texas. He pastors a fellowship that has small groups scattered throughout Texas in Kyle and the Austin area where he lives with his wife Charlene. Also, he has meetings in San Antonio in homes there, and then he has a meeting in Corpus Christi where he used to live. And John is just a wonderful guy. He's one of my best friends. And I'm so glad that he took the time and was able to sit down with me and do the podcast, because if there's anyone I'd like to introduce to you, it's him. John is the first of many that I hope will be able to sit down with me on these podcasts, where we can sit and share the unsearchableness of Christ, the reality of his indwelling fullness, and what that truly means. And I hope that these sharings with these guys will be able to direct your heart to an encounter with the indwelling Christ that will bring about rest and liberty and a surety and certainty in your soul. A certainty and an assurance that is missing in the majority of Christians, unfortunately. And this is why we do this podcast, to be able to present to the church, to the body of Christ, a reality that they are not hearing in normal church Bible teaching sessions. So that's why I'm very excited that I'm able to have this interview with John. And I hope you enjoy it. Again, before we get to that pre-taped interview, I want to thank you for taking the time to listen today, but also taking the time to download these podcasts. Tell others about the podcast. We're getting a lot of downloads from a lot of places, other countries. I mean, Germany, Pakistan, India, Brazil, France, Great Britain. We're getting Australia. We're getting hits and downloads, and they're not just one-time little hits. There are several times over and over people are listening to this podcast, and I do trust that people are being not only challenged by the reality that's being described and presented, but also being turned to desire the reality of Christ that is being presented, or the person that is being presented. I know it's very different from what normally is presented. I know it's very different from church and Christian theology and doctrine that maybe most of you are with which most of you are familiar. But I hope and I trust that in these things you will go before the Lord and ask him to reveal the person of the truth, the person of Christ in your soul. And we'll rejoice with you in that as the Father begins to unveil the soul to the presence of the perfect man who is in you. Now, without any more delay, let's get right into the interview with John. I know it's going to be a blessing to you, and I'll talk to you on the other side of it. As promised on the previous podcast, I have with me John Casera. He is he's up here, actually. I was down with him in Kyle, Texas, in the Austin area, and this past weekend. And while I was there, I tried to get him to do this podcast at that point in time, but things were kind of hectic that during the weekend. So we didn't have time to just sit down. And I guilt-tripped him so much that he felt obligated to come 12-hour drive to Arkansas to sit here with me at my kitchen table and do this podcast. So I appreciate him being susceptible to a guilt trip.
I had plenty of them once upon a time.
Yeah. Anyway, John pastors a fellowship there in Texas, and he has several meetings in different places, in the Austin and Kyle area, and San Antonio area, and then in Corpus Christi, where he used to live. Now he lives in Kyle with his sweet and lovely wife, Charlene.
Right on.
And it was a real pleasure to be with both of them this past weekend. And his sister was also there at the house, and Jan. And it was great being there with them. Had really good meetings. I should have recorded it so we could play it as a podcast. That would have been a good thing, but I didn't. It didn't even occur to me to do that. So, but thanks for being here, man.
Well, my pleasure.
Well, I'm glad you came. I've been looking forward to having you on the podcast for a long time, because if there's anyone that I know that I would love to introduce to the people who listen to this, it's you. You know, when we get together, we have a really good time sharing and laughing. There was a couple of times where on the drive up here, I almost had to pull off the side of the road because I couldn't see the road because of all the tears in my eyes, because we were laughing so much. But you really can't tell the difference whether I know I have tears in my eyes and can't see the road, or when I can't. You can't tell. There's no difference. So there was no fear. You didn't know. You didn't know the difference. I wanted you to be here on the podcast with me, and you have the privileged position to be the first one that I've actually had and talked to, other than just these folk having to hear me. So I know you're just so privileged to have that position. But as I said, John is, I would consider him, out of two people, my best friend that I can put a finger on and say these guys are my friends. And that's John Kasser and Richard Mixon. And I'm going to have Richard here with us at some point in time. But I'm glad John's with me. I'm glad I'm able to introduce him to you guys and that you're able to hear his heart. Because as I said in one of the earlier podcasts, when you hear John, you hear his heart, and you hear a true working of the Spirit, the true working of Christ in his soul, because this man has seen the Lord and has no other agenda, has no other motive but to see Christ and present him to others that they may see Christ. That's his motivation, and that's what I appreciate about him so much. And that's why I wanted him to be here on the podcast. All right, John. I've known you for a long time. We've known each other for many, many years. So I think folks listening to the podcast would really benefit from hearing your, for lack of a better term, hearing about your journey in Christ. And so we're going to talk about that. You know, what I mean from a journey is from, you know, spiritual ignorance and religion and all of that, and the bondage of that, and the torture of that, to the rest and the certainty of beholding the indwelling Christ as your life and your righteousness and all things. And so I want you to talk about that to the folk, and we'll just converse whenever, but I want you to feel free to take all the time you want to kind of go through this. First, we can begin at the beginning. And which is always a good place to start, and on how you came to Christ and what brought you to that point, and then we'll go from there.
Okay.
All right.
Well, it's just good to be here with Raven. You know, just returning from a trip down to Texas and having a real good fellowship time down there in North Austin. Real blessing to those there, and always to me especially. So Raven was asking me about this, asked me to speak on this podcast, and I thought, well, okay. The beginning for me came in 1972. I was around 24 then. But I've been on drugs for quite a while. Just to make a, trying to make a long story real short, came to a place where, you know, you've done so much that it caught up with you. Caught up with you physically, caught up with you mentally, right. Caught up with you emotionally. to the point where I was laying in bed one time, and I don't know, I've done so much, you sometimes wonder, I hadn't done any drugs for at least 2 days or so, but I had, all of a sudden, you know, I started feeling real dead inside. But I had done so much drugs, I was pretty close to death itself, physical death. Mentally, I was in really bad shape, too, as far as just burning up your mind with this stuff. And because I lived in the fast lane for so long. But I was laying on this bed, and I started feeling real, real dead. Death just inwardly. Because I was actually dying. All of a sudden, I just was in a place. It was just there, just as real as the room I'm sitting in right now, where it was just dark, really about as dark as I've ever seen black before. And then there was fire there, just fire. And with that combination of death working, so I was so dead inside, and everything was just dark and this fire, I thought, you know, hey, and all this while I was on drugs, and I thought that I was really smart. And in that situation, I thought, well, I'll just think my way out of this. I've always thought my way out of situations.
Right.
And so laying there, I was scared. I was really scared just because of the death, the darkness, and the fire. I thought, well, I'll just get out of here. And I reached up in my mind to think my way out, and every thought turned into fire. That really shook me up. So I kind of am a persistent person, so I decided to do that again. So I kind of, for a better way of saying it, I just went up in my mind to try to think my way through that again.
Right.
But my thoughts literally turned into fire. I did that 3 times. And on the third time, I was convinced I couldn't get out of there. I could not escape this death, this darkness, and this fire. Because my thoughts were, and it's all my life, thinking had been power,
right?
In the hippie world and all those type of realms, you were ahead back then, back in the 60s, and but those thoughts didn't do you any good. And right before me, I thought, you know what? I'm the most stupid, idiotic person on the face of this earth. And I just saw myself. I was in a room that I actually was raised in. And there was a mirror there. And I saw myself in front of that mirror. And I just thought, man, there is a dumb, idiotic, stupid person. The most on the face of the earth. Because I'm in a place where I can't think my way out of. I got myself into this and I can't get myself out of. And my mother and daddy cannot help me here. And I thought, if I was to call them, man, they could not comprehend this at all. And so just out of desperation, I turned, and there was a Bible on the top of that bed. And I turned to John 15. And I'd never really got into the Bible at all. So I didn't know anything, but I just opened it up, and there it was, John 15. And there at the first verse, it says, I am the true vine. Well, on drugs, see, I was really a serious drug seeker, so to speak, on LSD and all this stuff. Because I was really hunting for the truth. I wanted to know the bottom line of the universe. And man, we soared to find it. And by the grace of God, I just turned and I saw her. I read that because the Lord knew where I was. He knew I wanted to know the truth.
Sure.
And I've been kind of dealt with on drugs sometimes concerning Christ.
Well, there's always that thing inside. And I think it's what God put in there. It's that you know, my soul cries out for the living God. That is a consistent and a constant thing.
Absolutely.
And most people feed it with either religion or drugs or whatever. The natural mind has come up with a myriad of different directions you could go with that desire, but that's something given to the heart of man by God himself to cry out for reality, cry out for God himself.
Amen.
And it's a desire only he can fulfill.
Absolutely.
Now, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Anyway, that first verse, it starts out with, I am the true vine. Well, it came to me this way. I am the true vine, stupid. And I just thought, you know, this is what I've been looking for all the time. I just want to know the truth.
Yeah, God being pretty blunt with you.
Yeah, you know, and I just thought, here it is.
It's me, dummy.
Right before me here, it's just like, God, it was so close to me, like the nose on your face.
Yeah.
I just couldn't see it. And so it really hit me. This is the truth. This is the truth here. Jesus is the truth. And it says, and my father's the husbandman. And I was just reading on. I don't know nothing about. This is the first time I ever read this chapter in my life, as far as I know, at that time in 72. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And I had not a clue on what that meant.
Right.
That the word would just clean. There was a clearing here.
Right.
There was going to be a clearing coming up. But I was just reading in just desperation. And the Lord always knows where you are.
Sure.
Whether you do or not, he does. Mm-hmm. And it says, abide me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you except in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Well, oh man, that was a real revelation to me. Mm-hmm. Without me you can do nothing. And I looked at my life and I thought, man, I am 24 and I have accomplished nothing. I'm here and there's everything is just death, darkness, and fire, and then I haven't accomplished anything, and I just said, my, that's me.
Yeah.
That's me. And then I read on, if a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. When I read that, and is withered, that was me. I could see how withered I was.
Mm-hmm.
I was withered from all of that. You know, burned up my body, burned up my mind, and I was really withered. I mean, I identified it in the flesh. Just,
right.
Because, man, I was really at death's door there. And it says, men shall gather them and cast them into the fire, and they shall be burned. I says, that's where I'm at. This is exactly where I'm at.
Yeah,
my friends would gather me up and cast, you know, I mean, every time I try to stop, they'd gather me up and we'd go again.
Yeah.
Or if they wanted to stop, I'd gather them up and just, men, gather you up, cast you in the fire. And you shall be, and that's where I was. And I said, golly, this is exactly where I'm at. And then he goes on and says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Well, about that time, here comes light and life come rushing right into my soul, my inward part. I didn't know any of these terms back then,
right, sure.
But it was light and life come just forcefully just right into me. And all of a sudden, man, there was nothing. I didn't see nothing but life, just light and life. And all that I was looking for all that time, and here it was, life and light. And you know where life and light is. This is just an automatic, and it happens every time. There's no... This is just a law of physics, and just in the plainness it can be, where life and light is, death and darkness cannot exist.
Right. Yeah.
All of a sudden, man, there was no death or darkness. It just, all of a sudden, that was gone. And that fire was gone.
Wow.
And I was standing on the side of this bed, shaking like a leaf, but I did have light and life, and I knew that that was Jesus Christ in me. And so, but my body was still very withered. My mind was still very bad, you know, off. I mean, still pretty much hard to, it was going every which way. And so from that, I wanted just to say that that was a salvation experience.
Right.
I am born again.
Right.
There's no doubt about that. But the problem is, I really didn't know what happened when that born again experience really took place, how God actually saw it.
Right.
And but I knew that there was, that Jesus was, and I'm, and things automatically changed for me in many ways. I didn't do drugs, didn't smoke. I went just to a church. I'm not going to get into names here, but the whole thing is, I couldn't function because of, you know, just my past. I had a salvation, but I didn't have rest for my soul.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I do share in what I'm sharing here, my intent is for anybody who hears me, they find rest for your soul.
That's great. Yeah.
And I was gung-ho for God. But the Lord put me with an elderly lady.
Well, let me ask you this.
Go ahead. Hit me. Go ahead.
You know, with all the drugs you did and all of this, almost, you know, when most people would look at it on the surface, it would seem like this is some real deliverance from something, from drugs, from that type of lifestyle, right?
Right.
And most people, when they have that, and from the perspective of the deliverance that took place, they would then begin to define salvation from that perspective and say, salvation that I have now is that God saved me from drugs.
Right.
Saved my life from that kind of lifestyle. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's where most people go. Is that what happened?
Yeah, I had more of a deliverance. You know, I'm out of this.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure where I'm at. But I did want to say this, Raymond, because, you know, whoever doesn't have Christ in them, born again, I want to say this, that you have to face death, darkness, and fire all alone. And the only thing that works there, theology falls apart there.
Yeah.
I just want to just say it. There's no doctrine falls apart there.
No, absolutely.
Ideas fall apart there. Concepts fall apart there. The only thing that works there is life and light,
right.
And that is the person of Christ himself.
Yeah, there's no theological argument that can get you out of wretched man that I am.
Absolutely. I mean, there's no theological, it's just, I thank God through Jesus Christ,
yeah,
my Lord.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, anyway, I just wanted to kind of bring us to that place. And yes, it was more on, hey, I'm out of this, but I had not a clue what actually happened, where I was now,
right,
and how God viewed me now through the person of Jesus Christ. And I set about not knowing, you know, God's righteousness, actually, just about like the Jews in John 10. I went about to establish my own righteousness, and all that I did, man, I just did everything. I mean, I was really
zealous.
Zealous.
Yeah,
I was just really zealous, and 24/7. I mean, if you could have gained righteousness by outward, I would have got it.
You had it done.
I was squeaky clean and everything. I mean, gave everything all the time, 24/7. But after 10 years of that, all this zeal, you know, starts to get wore down.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start wondering, why am I doing this? How come this isn't working? How come I know what God wants me to do here, you know, to take care of this situation? We ministered out in different things.
Now, before you go too far now,
go ahead.
You need to go back.
Okay.
The elderly lady.
Yeah, well, that's where I'm at.
Okay, you need to talk about her and see, because, you know.
Okay. the Lord put me with an elderly lady, and she almost had to be raised all over again too.
Right.
And so destroyed. And so she was my mother in the Lord, and she had a lot of tapes from a school from Dallas called Berea. And it was a preaching of Christ. Mm-hmm. And I listened to those, and I didn't understand them that much, but they did bring me peace. And I was sharing Christ out of those, but I just didn't understand what they really, really meant. And anyway, she was a missionary, and we ministered for about 5 years. And, you know, she was about 60. I was, you know, 24. And she fell, and then I had to kind of take care of her a little bit more and a little bit more, where the demands were getting greater.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I had outward righteousness, really. I mean, I was doing the right thing.
Yeah.
All the time. Going to work, doing all this stuff. But it came to a place where, hey, I didn't like her, and I didn't like being there. Yet, the Lord wanted me to do that.
Yeah.
And I wanted to do, just leave and just be like everybody else.
Yeah.
Just let me just be like everybody else. Let's join a church and just get into a kind of like a, just go through the motions of Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that didn't work for me.
Right.
From where I come from, there's no pretense. You just can't just pretend. You have to function. You have to get out of bed and go to work, and you have to get up and, well, you got this responsibility, another responsibility. And in my case, I couldn't do this in myself. And the Lord knew it.
Right.
I couldn't just be an actor, mm-hmm. so to speak.
Sure.
And anyway, there came a time where I just did, my love for God failed. I didn't love God either. And I thought he was mean and cruel. And that, you know, he was making demands on me that were more than I could handle. And I was in this situation when all of a sudden, I mean, I was really desperate, because I just didn't want to live no more, didn't want to be there no more. And I was laying on the floor, actually. And I was thinking, you know what? Boy, what I thought I was, I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
I am not God's man of the hour. I am not the holy, holy and righteous, like, because I had all this in my heart, and I couldn't hide it no more.
Right.
I didn't, you know, hate, you know, and I was mad at God and all this. And an article came along called "Behold What God Had Done in Christ."
This is in a magazine?
It's a magazine called Contrast back then.
Okay.
And it was an article by J.W. Lemon. And in it, he said this: "When I look into Christ, I don't see myself righteous and holy. I see myself dead, crucified with Christ, and Christ in me, made unto me everything that I could never, ever be in the flesh."
Hmm.
And he said it twice. And all of a sudden, man, it came, oh gosh, inwardly in me. My, I've been trying to be something that Christ in me already is.
That's wonderful.
I was trying to be righteous, and I couldn't. And I saw that by the cross, that it wasn't me, but him,
mm-hmm.
that was God's satisfaction.
Yes.
That I had received the satisfaction of God. Didn't realize it maybe in those words back then, but it was not I, but Christ came in. And it was rest for my soul that God wanted. He didn't care about how I messed up all whatever we were doing. It was never really perfect, but I was trying to, you know, make it something. But the whole issue with God was rest for my soul.
Mm-hmm.
He knew without that, I could not function.
Mm-hmm.
And Christian people today, they try to function looking at the wrong object.
Yeah.
And if you are a feeble member, then you're in really bad shape.
Yeah.
You can't meet the standard.
Exactly.
And so now you're in real trouble. And not only that, I don't know, after I got saved and just kind of was set aside with this elderly lady, and there was nobody else for a while on the face of this earth that I even dealt with sometimes, loneliness. And one time she went into the hospital. Man, I never felt so lonely in all my life.
Mm-hmm.
You could cut it with a chainsaw. For one solid month, she stayed. And I didn't have anybody. And I didn't have a revealed Christ in me. And I was lonely. I mean, almost insane lonely. Because everything was outward. Righteousness was outward. Love was outward. How God loved me was outward. Everything was outward. There was nothing inward.
Yeah.
Because Jesus was going to come one of these days.
Right.
And that's all an outward thing. But anyway, when that article came along, all of a sudden it was Christ in me, made unto me what I couldn't be. He was made unto me what 1 Corinthians 1:30 says. But of God are you in Christ, who has been made unto you righteousness, wisdom, and therefore righteousness,
yep,
and redemption,
yep,
and sanctification.
That's right.
Because the wisdom comes, righteousness. He's the whole nine yards in you as far as your relationship with God is concerned.
Yes, settled.
And the cross declares that in a very exact way when it says, when one died, all died.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they call it the love of Christ that constrains us. It just, you know, I was trying to be the best Christian on the face of the earth, and that's not what God's after.
No.
He brings you to the cross where I'm crucified with Christ. He didn't make me a better person. You know, there's books out, The Better You. I would say throw that away.
Yeah, I would too.
How about the not I, but Christ?
Yeah, not you.
Where he's your total relationship with God, and that actually is the definition of the church.
Yes.
Where the church is the fullness of him. With the church is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. How did that happen? Well, everything is, the old man is crucified at the cross.
Right.
The first Adam's dead. The old creation is done away. I mean, it's old things passed away. They're not made better. And the cross only allows for one person to live.
Mm-hmm.
And we find our life in that one person to the point where in him, it's him all and in all. He's the allness of the salvation that we have for God, you know, have in Christ, in God. And anyway, but it was a transition when I saw that. I saw that's why I'm with this elderly lady. That's why I am in this house right now, for this moment, for this time, where I could see that Christ in me is made unto me what I can't be. And what happened to me? I'm crucified. I'm dead. He's my life. Wow.
Yeah.
And I could say, man, you know what? There's some hope in me staying alive. Because when I got saved, I thought maybe I'll live to 29. Well, I'm 67 now.
Mm-hmm.
Came and I've been all kinds of things, Raven. You know that. Utility route supervisors, landfill foremans, brush foremans, application specialists, and I became the IT supervisor of a department.
Mm-hmm.
All because of not I but Christ. But if religion gets a hold of you, then it's you, and more of you. And more of we, and you. Everything is outward. And your salvation is up one day and down another. But when it's Christ in you, who's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and it's not you but him, my, you can hear the voice of God. He sticks, I mean, he never leaves you nor forsakes you. He speaks in you, and you know it's him. and you might have your thoughts on one thing and just think of desperation. Like, man, there's no way out of this. All of a sudden, he's speaking faith. And because he is the faith that he speaks.
You know,
go ahead.
You were saying that, you know, a lot of people ask us when we share and people hear us, and maybe even those who are listening to the podcast who have heard me and are hearing you now, when we talk about the revealing of Christ, Christ was revealed. I saw Christ. I think to take the time now to kind of address that a little. What does that mean? And one very simple way of saying it is what you've been saying this whole time. Well, there's a couple of things. First of all, when you were born again, when you come to that experience, you were seeing the scripture, and it was, I am the true vine. Okay, then light and life comes.
Right.
So the true vine, it's in the context of that verse, I am the true vine.
Right.
But still, the I am that he is, if that's a way of saying it, the I am was still, although he comes to dwell in you,
right,
although all of that is so, and you've read it, and light and life came, and that was not yet concretely evident in you.
Absolutely.
As an understanding that governed your heart. It was so. And when he came and dwelt in you, he came as that, the true vine, the door, the life, the righteousness, all of it in its eternal perfection, all of it. But it wasn't until you saw Christ that reality became a realization that governs you, and that settles your heart in a view of reality and no longer in view of what's not.
Amen.
In other words, it turns you from you to him. It the reality that he is occupies your soul to such a degree where you never look for that in you again.
Amen.
And that's something of the revealing of Christ.
Yes.
And that's part of the whole. And it's, see, most people think it's some kind of an out-of-the-body experience, euphoric deal. Yes, there is a euphoria to it because, my God, I just saw salvation for the first time.
Amen.
I've just seen God. You know, it's like Simeon. Mine eyes have seen your salvation. You think he was excited when he saw an 8-day-old baby? Just think when you see the risen Christ who lives in you. There is an experience. But it is a soul coming to comprehend a present indwelling reality.
Amen.
That's something of what we mean. Now, we can't explain that to the point where they're like, oh, yeah, I understand. You have to, it's like you have to see it to believe it. You have to experience who he is to really understand what we mean when we say Christ revealed in you or I've seen him. Man, it's your eyes being open to a reality you could never imagine, because the only thing you could imagine had you as its reference point.
That's right.
And for you, for that many years, righteousness had you as its reference point, so you tried it as hard as you could.
Amen.
Because every time you'd still look at yourself, you knew, because you were honest enough to know, this isn't it. This can't be it.
Right.
I'm doing good, but this isn't right. This can't be righteousness. Because there's still something beyond the outward that's wrong. It's an inward thing that's still not there.
Right. Absolutely.
But the point is, it was there.
Yes, it was.
But it was him and not you.
Yes.
And that's the beauty of what we're talking about when it's the revealing of Christ. It's not God giving something subsequent to salvation. It is him unveiling your soul to the perfection of the salvation he gave you at the beginning.
Amen. Absolutely. And that's how come you just wonder how come he, he never leaves you. You know what I mean? You do this, you do that. And I remember after this elderly lady died, and I've been, I just thought, my God, and different things didn't work out, and I was kind of left out. You know, I had to deal with things all of a sudden because she filtered out the whole world for me for 15 years, basically. Everything had to pass through her. Now everything wasn't passing through her, and I was getting hit. And I remember one time I got so mad at God. I got really mad at God. And I just wanted to say about the abiding Christ in you, whether you really have a handle on it or not, or, you know, or aware of it. If you have, are you born again? He's there.
Oh, yeah.
And I yelled, and I got in the pickup because nobody could, you know, you can't do this in an apartment complex. The cops would be out there. I drove and yelled at God and just told him, man, this is it. Man, just leave me alone. And I don't want, man, you're cruel and all this stuff. And I yelled and screamed so much for about an hour where I could not talk no more. Mm. My voice went. I went and parked that car in front of that apartment. I finally went God. I decided, well, that's about as all I could do. You know, just almost like stay away from me.
Yeah.
You know, I went in front of an apartment and got in my apartment, went through there, sat on the bed, and he hadn't gone nowhere. He was still in me.
Yeah, that's
and
great.
I just broke down and cried.
Mm-hmm.
And I repented because the goodness of the Lord leads to repentance.
Correct.
It's not like, man, this is supreme love.
Yeah.
Not I, but Christ. Now you come to true love.
Yeah, something fixed, settled.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. It's so great. I mean, it's a perfect thing. And that perfection isn't you, and it never will be you.
Amen.
It's not dependent on you. It's not diminished because of you, and it's not enhanced because of you.
Amen.
It is perfect because it is not you, but Him. And that's the perfection He works upon. That's the basis He deals with us on. Not us, but His Son. Now, when our soul is governed by something contrary to that eternal reality, then all the struggle, all the fight, all the things. But the revealing of Christ brings my soul upon the surety of that eternal basis, that eternal foundation, and its rest, its peace.
Amen.
Because it is Him.
It is Him.
And there is nothing more steady, more sure, and more perfect than Him. And the beauty of it is realizing how foolish I was to ever think God is wringing His hands, looking at either one of us, saying, I wonder if He's going to finally get it right. No. The getting it right's already been accomplished. Amen. God got it right.
Amen.
And your ignorance doesn't negate that. Now, it may negate your heart participating in what He has finished and the perfection of salvation that's already present because you're ignorant of it. That's true. But the reality remains. The truth remains. What is perfect remains.
Amen.
And the Spirit of God is always working on that basis. He's not shaken up when we are. He's not shaken up because we're stupid.
Right.
He's not shaken up because we mess up. God is satisfied. And God has finished His work, except the working in our hearts to show us what He has finished.
Amen.
That's it. And that's what we've both experienced in this.
Amen.
And it's so beautiful because you talked like what you said earlier. You came in the seeing of Christ and are, as we all continue in the seeing of Christ,
that's
we come to know the rest for the soul. The rest the soul was created for.
The Sabbath rest.
The Sabbath rest. The thing that was throughout the ages and throughout the history of God's deal with mankind, what He set in motion as a testimony of what we presently have in Christ. And the great testimony of the seventh day of creation, where He looked at everything He had finished, He had done, and said, it is good.
Amen.
That good thing is in us now.
Amen.
And that's what the revealing of Christ is all about. That's what we've experienced. Coming from the bondages of religion, where we had to almost fake it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you said, an actor. We had to basically fake our way through it because we were, and still are, but at that point in ignorance, we were as sincere as we could possibly be, but we were sincerely ignorant and sincerely void of any spiritual understanding at all. But he wasn't. He is not ignorant. He is pure eternal knowledge himself. And he will work in our hearts in accordance to that, to not bring our soul to the knowledge, but just to fill our soul with his knowledge.
Amen.
And then we live governed by that reality. It's beautiful.
It is. It is. And, you know, I guess when a person gets saved, when they come to the Lord, when they are born again and the Spirit of Christ enters that soul, mm-hmm. God, you know, I just didn't realize that he, my experience, now this might be however you want to think it, it just seemed like, you know, I've looked back and I says, man, he took on a lot of responsibility when he did that.
Yeah.
In my case, that I was kind of like a hopeless basket case. I mean, gosh, you know, but he took that on.
Right.
Man cannot take that on.
No.
It's too big for man. Man can't deal with something that's so destroyed. Right. Only God can take on. He took, when you come to Jesus, I became his responsibility. Mm-hmm. He just says, I'm responsible for you.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, even though you can't really see it, he holds you close and dear.
He keeps you.
He keeps you.
Yeah. And it's keeping us from falling, but it's not keeping you from falling in the sense that he says, okay, John, don't fall now.
Yeah.
Or, oh, watch your step here, John. No, it's not that. It's not like God is this life coach from heaven. You know?
You got it.
You know, there's this commercial where he's wearing the helmet and the life coach is telling him every move to make.
Right.
That's what we think God is. No, the keeping us from falling is the fact that he in us is our life.
Amen.
Unto God, and he is the keeping.
Amen.
The keeping from falling is that my life, the one who truly is my life and righteousness and all of it, never moves.
Right.
Never falls, never falters, is always sure, perfect, settled. And if that's the one in view of my soul, if that's the one my gaze is set upon, man, there's no problem here. There's nothing. There's nothing. There's an anchor. There's an anchor that is settled forever.
Amen. And that's the way it comes. And even in desperate moments, all of a sudden, what's wrong?
Yeah.
You know, what's the problem here?
Right.
There is no problem here because I'm here. You know, I mean, that's the way it comes. And all of a sudden, you're just, you know, oh, yeah, I'm troubled on every side, but I'm not in, you know,
distress or despair.
You got all this, all these things, you know. Like Paul says, because light had shined in darkness and shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, not in my face, but his face.
Right.
Seeing now I'm just a partaker. Mm-hmm. Partaker. And you know, you get to, you know, I was just going to bring this out. I don't know how long we have here.
No, we got a little bit of time. Go ahead.
Exodus, I think, 4:22, mm-hmm. when the Lord told Moses, go tell Pharaoh, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. Let him go, or else you're going to pay the consequences. Well, God was looking at a whole bunch of people mm-hmm. when he said that. Israel is my son. Well, you know, you just wonder, well, how did that really happen? Well, in that little hut where they said, go take a lamb, kill that lamb, put the blood of that lamb on the door post and the lintel. And then he did, you know, he says, now, then get inside the hut. No, you get the lamb and bring him into the hut.
That's right.
Now you eat that lamb standing up. Because all of a sudden when they did all that, God saw them. You know, they partook of the lamb to the degree that now it was just like the body of Christ right now.
Right.
His body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all.
Yep.
Type and shadow of that, Israel is my son.
Absolutely.
Even my firstborn, looking at a whole bunch of people, and this is one new man.
Defined
in
by
Christ.
One, yeah. Absolutely.
Everybody's defined by one, just like the tabernacle and the priest. And
beautiful.
Everybody found their relationship with God in that one.
Yep.
they partook of the Lamb, and God saw them. Hey, you're one with the Lamb.
Yeah.
To that degree, Israel is my son. And this is the sureness of our salvation, because that one is in us, and God beholds him. That's who he beholds right when you're saved. And it says, but you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, he's our life, then we appear.
Yes.
But not, we don't appear without him.
No, no.
There is no appearing without him.
No, that's the whole thing he's bringing them from in chapter 2. It's them trying to appear separate from him before God by stepping into the things of the testimony, stepping into the shadows of the law, and trying to fulfill those things with their activities instead of knowing him as the fulfillment of those things and seeing him as their life unto God, seeing him as their righteousness. I mean, it's what he says, of his fullness have we all received. Ye are complete in him. Why? Because the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him.
Amen.
Now, therein is the whole point of the Spirit of God working in our hearts, to bring our heart from the transition that has to happen. Because what we are, normal human beings, born of the Spirit, but human beings, okay? Our point of view will be us.
Amen.
Absolutely. Man can never in himself see anything beyond himself. The Spirit of God is the only one that can cause our soul to gaze upon the face, the person, the presence of another man and define reality in another.
Amen.
And that's when reality is seen for the first time. And I like to say, because it's a perpetual working.
Absolutely.
I like to say you see it for the first time every time.
Absolutely.
Every time you see him, it's the first time you've seen your salvation. And the moment you stop seeing him, the moment you stop allowing the Spirit of God to unveil your ignorant heart to reality, is the moment you stop knowing reality.
Amen.
You don't learn it and put it in a notebook and then you've got that as a, you know, that's some kind of a archived knowing of Christ. No, there's no such thing.
Mm-mm.
You know, I was born again 50 years ago, or this happened 50 years ago, or I had an experience with the Lord. No, it's a perpetual working of the Spirit, unveiling the soul to the reality of Christ. That has to be taking place. If not, man will always revert back to the inclinations of seeing himself and defining spiritual reality with himself in view.
Amen.
Because he can't do anything else.
Amen. That's what fellowship's all about to me, is that we keep our hearts turned to see him.
Yeah, and that's the edifying that we have one with another, that we experience together and others. Because that's what Paul says, that we would be mutually edified one of another by our faith. Mutually.
Amen.
It's not me preaching to you and you getting it.
Right.
Or you getting edified. No, it's mutual edification, because every joint's supplying, because every joint is being joined to the head. We're holding the head. We're finding all things in the head. And in that, we have something to edify one another with.
Amen.
It's the declaring of him.
And there's real liberty in that, and peace in that, joy in that. And there's mercy in that.
Yeah.
You know, there's mercy there. And if you're on that legal tightrope, trying to walk that legal tightrope of the law, my, what what bondage that is, there's fear there. There's so much fear there, and so much uncertainty there, because that's who we are.
Mm-hmm.
We're just like total uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
This world is totally uncertain, but Christ in us is our total certainty.
Yep.
24/7, as far as, you know, our relationship with God goes. I mean, it'll never be more certain than him.
That's right.
And he made it certain when he says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life, I'm going to the cross to make this certain.
Yep.
And when I make it certain, it shall be certain.
It is finished.
It's finished certain.
Yep.
I mean, old things are passed away. All things have become new now.
Yep.
I did away, you know, I come to take away the first to establish the second. And I did that. I am that.
Yep.
You know, and I'm that in you.
Yep.
24/7, whether you realize it or not.
Absolutely.
But if you're born again just right now, or you've been born again ever since you were 6 years old and you now you're 90. It don't make any difference. From that point in time, old things have passed away, all things have become new.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole journey is about the appearing.
That's right.
Of Him.
Yeah.
Who is that in us.
Discovering who He is.
Discovering who
Knowing He is.
Knowing Him.
Man, what a wonderful thing to realize that it's as simple as that.
Amen.
And what I mean when I say simple is it's not convoluted as man makes it.
Amen.
It's single in that there's there's one goal, one aim, one object. It's the I am.
Amen.
It's knowing the I am. It is what Paul says here. I was reading in Philemon, where he says that you would become to the acknowledgement of every good thing that is in you. The good thing that is in you is Christ.
Amen.
The whole journey of the soul is to become more and more and more perfectly aware of Him who is in you. It's not getting anything more. It's seeing Him who is the much more. That was already there from the moment of new birth. Thank God for it.
Amen.
Thank God for the journey. Thank God for the work of the Spirit.
What a trip.
Amen. Wonderful. What a trip. That's a good way of saying it.
What a trip.
What
man.
A wonderful trip.
It beats all, you know, it's such a wonderful trip because it just blows the other one away.
There is no comparison.
No comparison.
Man, I have been in religion, and I am seeing Christ, and I like seeing Christ better.
Oh, wow. And you—if you have devastations in your life, and people have devastations that no man, no amount of psychology, Christian psychology, all the loving kindness of Christians,
right.
All that. You know, you can't touch that devastation.
Right.
It's too deep. It's too wide. And you might want to help. And you can help to some degree, no doubt. But the true help is declaring to that person a Christ where they turn their heart from themselves, who literally is the devastation, unto Him where all of a sudden He's done away with the devastation and putting them in Himself and crucifying them with Him and then coming forth as His very life unto God. For to me to live is Christ.
Yeah.
I mean, to that degree where it's just so much greater than all the devastations.
Oh, yeah.
So you're not lost in the past. All of a sudden, it's not a forgiven past. It's a done away one.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, all of a sudden it's newness of life. And if you get caught up in back again in the past of things, you can see Him. All of a sudden it's always the same. All things have become new.
Yeah.
Old things are passed away.
Mm-hmm.
You're dead and your life is hid with Christ. That is forever settled. It's not like you're trying to make that happen. No, you just see it as Him. And your soul is transformed. It's not like you think. God's seeing this. He's not seeing that. That's gone. This is what He beholds. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead.
And so in that, there is no room to boast except in the Lord.
In the Lord. And it's kind of sandwiched between two things. That there would be no glorying in the flesh. And the only place to glory is is in the Lord.
That's right.
And it's put right in the middle there. Why? Because he's made unto us. Now you can't boast in the flesh. Now you can only glory in the Lord.
Yeah.
Because he is the definition of righteousness.
Yeah.
Not with what I, what great things I've done for God.
Yeah, he's salvation to the utmost.
Amen.
He is salvation to its utmost conclusion and measure. There is no way to measure salvation except it's measured in his presence.
Amen.
You can't do it.
First, I think that's Hebrews 7:25 or 24.
Here, go ahead and read it.
Okay, let me see if I can find that real fast here. This is going to be Hebrews 7:24.
Okay.
Now, this is the thing, the emphasis. But this man, that means only this man.
Mm-hmm.
Forget about all the rest of them. But this man, Jesus Christ, who is in you, in us, because he continueth forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost, to them that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to maketh intercession for them. He's always, like you shared, standing before God.
Defining a salvation.
As our life.
Yep.
24/7, even when I'm in a car, ranting and raving, in just a hysterical...
Yeah, not ranting and raving.
Not ranting and raving, but ranting and raving. Hysterically.
Yeah.
That didn't touch it.
No, it doesn't touch it, because he sees something, man. He sees the glory of one man.
Amen.
He didn't see my just flailing around like a nut. You know, because I've had those same arguments in the car, screaming at the top of my lungs. I remember one time specifically, it was 10 years ago or so, and I remember it vividly like it was yesterday. And I said, "Why are you doing this to my life?" And buddy, he comes back, "I am not an additive to your life. I am your life. Or you have no life."
Amen.
And man, that was the conclusion of the argument. The deal was settled. Because that's the truth. That's who stands in the sight of God. My life stands in the sight of God. He's not doing anything. My life is settled.
Amen.
Fixed and perfect. Because it's Christ and not me.
Amen.
And that's the intercession that I want.
Amen.
I don't want him pleading my case. I want him there as the case and the conclusion of the case. I want him there standing in the sight of God, defining a salvation that is without sin, and that's the salvation he is in me.
Amen.
That's a good place to stop.
That's a good place.
I think we're out of time. Again, this is all, as John said, this is all about those of you who listen. It's about your soul coming to know the rest that God himself already knows. The rest that he's already not only wishes for your soul, but has given, provided to your soul in the presence of his beloved son. Thanks for being with me, man. I appreciate you being on the podcast, and I know these folk have appreciated what you had to say. All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed that time with John Cacera. I hope you enjoyed listening. I know I enjoyed sitting down with him and having that time together. It's always wonderful. As we said, I was with him in Texas, and then he came back to Arkansas to stay with me for a few days. And during that time in Arkansas, we were able to do this. John is one of the most sincere, honest people that I know. And I know that in hearing what he says, that is very evident. He's not a polished preacher. He is a real dude with a real heart that is really encountering the person of Jesus Christ. And I just love him. I don't know what else to say. And I'm so glad that you had the opportunity to hear from him and hear us kind of go back and forth. I gave him a lot of time because I wanted you to hear him and not me. But we have so much fun sharing together. And we're going to have him back on the podcast as soon as possible when we're able to make that happen again. So please contact me in the ways that are available on the Podbean page and the iTunes page. Again, we are available now on iTunes. So please go there and put ratings and reviews, if you will. Tell others who are iTunes users that, this podcast is available. Maybe a little change from the normal Christian podcasts that are out there, which is a good thing. Thanks for taking the time to listen, telling others about this podcast. We so appreciate it. Please contact me. Feel free to do so by phone, email, text, however you desire to communicate. It is indeed something that we look forward to. In all of this, my prayer is that the Father, who has in His Son bestowed such a great salvation, would awaken and unveil and flood our hearts with light, that we may know the greatness of this great salvation that is already present within us. Thanks for listening. Until next time, amen.